I'm Diane Muller, and I'm a customer service representative at Family Talk, and I wanted to wish you all a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to today's Christmas edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. I'm Dr. Meg Meeker, along with your host, psychologist and best-selling author Dr. James Dobson. And Dr. Dobson, throughout this month, we'll be airing the best programs from 2014. And today we're going to hear the second part of one of my favorite programs, and I believe yours, of this past year.
Well, thank you, Dr. Meeker, for that introduction. And this program that we're going to hear today is actually the second part of a three-part interview. And they are among my favorites from the entire year. And based on the statistics that we've gathered, you know, we get a report every day on the response of the people who call, people who write, people who ask for copies of a program, what happens on the internet. All those things give us a sense of where our listeners are. And we pay a lot of attention to that because we want to meet needs and we want to do what is most appropriate and most helpful to people. So that's why we're coming back to certain programs from this past year, and these three were certainly among them, and it must have touched a lot of hearts the first time it was aired. The program we're talking about is entitled The Hardest Piece, and we will be sharing part two with our listeners today. Last time, we began to unwrap the layers of the powerful story of Kara Tippetts. Kara and her husband, Jason, moved to Colorado Springs a few years ago to plant a church. But soon after the move, as soon as they got here, they found that Kara had stage 4 cancer. Kara and Jason have 4 children, but they aren't letting the diagnosis get in the way of celebrating every moment they have together as a family. They deeply love Jesus, and they both see every day as a blessing from the Lord. And she has a perspective on life that I know will impact all who are listening today. We had intended to do one program with Kara, but she came in and sat down here, and I had not known her till then. And we couldn't stop. There was just so much that was in her and things that she wanted to say and the blessings that she wanted to give back to the Lord. I think our listeners are going to identify here with Kara, even in her sickness and sorrow.
I absolutely agree. And really, as we were talking earlier, sitting across from Kara interviewing her, it's as though she just radiated the joy of the Lord, and you could almost feel it. And you know, Dr. Dobson, it's easy for most of us to take our days and our holidays for granted, isn't it? And yet here we have Jason and Kara and their 4 children who, God willing, are going to get to celebrate together another Christmas. And I'm just so grateful that God has been good enough to give them another Christmas together. He's so gracious.
You know, sometimes it does take difficult circumstances for all of us to realize how blessed we are during this time of the year. So many people will let the presents under the tree determine if it was a good Christmas or not. I've never fully understood that. Maybe I did when I was a child. I certainly don't now. But it's not the presents that make the holidays special. It's spending time with our loved ones and praising God for another year together, and certainly for the birth of the Christ child.
You bet. Well, let's get to the program today. Here is Dr. James Dobson, Kara Tippetts, and myself for part two of The Hardest Piece on today's Christmas edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
Kara, you are a strong lady. You probably don't see yourself that way, but to talk as you are openly about something so personal and so fraught with fear and complications, the way you have today requires a certain strength. How do you see yourself?
I see my biggest strength is my weakness and my neediness. And I wake up every day and I need Jesus. And he is what gives me kindness when I feel bad and gives me the ability to move towards people in love where I would rather be in the fetal position in a dark room.
Are you suffering now?
Yeah. Yeah. Pain has been my companion for years since this. And it's interesting. Doctors ask what my pain level is, and I can hardly answer anymore. I'm just used to it. It's
You're
kind
so
of my
used
companion.
To pain. Yeah. Because at this point, you know, with your illness, you have cancer in your brain.
Mm, yes.
You have it in your lungs.
My lungs are damaged from all the chemo.
Chemo. Mm-hmm. You've had radiation. So you have cancer throughout your body and in your bones as well.
Yes.
And I know that that's quite painful.
Last week, the nurse called and said, she read my CAT scan and said, oh, honey, you must be in a lot of pain. And I function. I mean, I am in pain, but I can keep moving. And mm-hmm. I feel like how to deal with pain leaves me cloudy and not able to connect with my children. So many days I would choose pain over narcotics so I can just be present.
Right. Can you talk to us a little bit about walking your children through this and how you and Jason have done that?
Yes.
The ages of your children?
Yes. I have three daughters and one son. So my oldest daughter is 13. I have about to have a 10-year-old, and I have a 7-year-old son and a 5-year-old daughter. So girl, girl, boy, girl. And when it first came, my oldest two understood what cancer was, and they understood that cancer is something that people die of. But my littlest two were too little. Mm-hmm. And so we basically told them, mommy's going to be bald, and we giggled, and they said, oh, you're going to look like a boy. And when the day came, grace came for us all. And I would read books to my kids at night, and they would rub my bald head. And, you know, I was very conscious of my middle schooler, that it's hard to be a middle schooler. And so I waited for her.
And 13's a hard time.
It's a hard time. And it's a hard time to walk with the mom. You don't want to be embarrassed. You don't want to be the one that has the different parent, the bald mom. And and so I was very careful with her. At home, I was always bald because wigs are very uncomfortable, as are hats and things. And so one day, my oldest came to me and said, Mom, you love being bald more than you like all these hats. I'm okay. You can pick me up bald. And it was this beautiful day of freedom for me because I was uncomfortable in wigs. But I knew she didn't want to feel different. And so I wanted to respect that in her.
Mm-hmm.
And my oldest daughter is very tenderhearted. I'd say all my children are very tenderhearted. And we've, as questions have come, we've answered them honestly.
Mm-hmm. You know, we were talking before we came in here. And I recently went through an experience where I lost my sister-in-law a couple months ago, and I found myself very angry, angrier than she was probably at her disease, which was odd. But she had four children, and I can tell you that I saw God's grace and kindness and mercy work in her children.
I see like it I before never, us right now.
I see it right here. Mm-hmm. And the blessing that God has poured on those children during their mother's illness, during her death, and even after her death. And I will never forget at a reception we were having after my sister-in-law's funeral, who was my age when she died, and left her kids. She was a single mom. So I was extra angry. You're right, anger is easy. Mm-hmm. Anger is so much easier because you vent it. And her daughter came up to me and said, you know, Aunt Meg, before my mother died, I questioned the existence of Christ, the reality, and certainly of heaven. But after having seen my mom die, I have no question. Mm-hmm. But Jesus and heaven are real. And somehow I think her mom heard that. I don't know. I hope. But to hear your child say that, and that it came about through her mother's death, the greatest gift we want to give our children is our love and a faith in Christ.
Okay.
And to have gotten that through the blessing of her mother's death, and even the death itself can be a blessing. And I believe that Jesus is so tenderhearted towards your children now and will be after, that he will pour his blessing on your children because of your faithfulness and everything you're doing now, because it's his character.
Yeah.
I agree. You know, it's a future thing that I can't know, but I believe with you.
Yes.
That there's going to be grace there. My husband dreads the moment he tells my kids that I'm gone. He dreads it. I think it's his worst fear.
Yeah.
But we both know that there will be grace there. Mm-hmm. And I have prayed, and I have prayed into that moment mm-hmm. that something really beautiful would come out of it.
It will. It will. And yeah. God's peace will just flood those children and your husband.
You know, one of my favorite books, have you read A Severe Mercy?
Yes.
It is one of my all-time favorites. And I started reading it again. And, you know, he talks a lot about the heights and the depths and that there's just goodness in both. I get to love my kids so big while I have breath to breathe. Mm-hmm. And those are the heights. And God will meet them in the depths, and he will be good. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what I love to say, that hard is not the absence of God's goodness, that I have known so much of his goodness through this hard story, as have my kids, as has my husband, and our church community.
Kara, how can our listeners pray for you?
I think just pray for that present grace for us, that peace that passes understanding, that that we would walk broken into this.
Yeah. I ask our listeners not to do one thing.
What's that?
I ask them not to write us with miracle cures.
Thank you.
Yes.
I've heard them all.
I know that people love to do that.
Yes.
And when somebody is sick, they have an easy answer to it.
Yeah.
But why do all the physicians who are out there not know about it? Why do all the researchers, why do you have the only corner on truth
right,
here?
Right.
And but they feel that way, and they get really quite upset if you don't understand it. I told you in my office, somebody gave me a solution for all of life's physical problems, which was kind of silly, really.
Yes.
And that's what people do. And the other thing they do is write or tell you that this is your sin.
Yeah.
If you would just come clean with your hidden sin, that this would go away and in fact would not have ever come upon you. But it's appointed unto man once to die.
Yeah.
Every one of us.
Well, and it is. I mean
who
we can
from
all
1850 is alive?
Yeah, we could all say sickness is here because of sin. But to say personally to somebody, I mean, death came with the fall, and that's part of the consequence that we all face. And I say often the veil between here and heaven is a very thin veil, but it's a painful one.
It's painful.
It hurts because we weren't originally made to die. It hurts us. And so people want to protect us from death, save us from death, because it is so painful.
Yeah.
Or tell us there's something that we can do. It's a faith issue. And really what you're talking about are toxic faith beliefs that many friends have. If you had more faith, then you could somehow appeal to God and he would heal it. And I've, you know, actually saw someone go up to a friend of mine whose husband was lying in a casket and said, if you have as much faith as you claim, why don't you go up and ask God to raise him out of that casket? Those are the kinds of friends that nobody needs. But from a Christian perspective, if you really don't know what to say, just stay silent and love people. Yeah. And just
my response often comes with, I have been healed. On May 4th, 1994, when I met Jesus, I was healed.
You were healed.
I was healed. I've been given eternity. And healed from the brokenness that I knew all those years before. So that's the kind of gracious answer I try and give of, you know, I don't suffer a separation between God. And I, you know, our in-Christness walks us through that veil of death. I am never separate from Jesus. Mm-hmm. I will walk from this life with Jesus into the next life with Jesus.
You know, I want to correct something that, or at least an impression that I may have left in what I said before. I do believe in divine healing.
Oh, he's capable.
I have experienced it.
Yes.
I mean, it's been 24 years since I had a terrible heart attack. And here I am, and my heart is functioning as far as we know. Today, like a young man who hasn't had a heart attack. And I know there was a lot of prayer that people were praying for me.
Absolutely.
when it became known that I had this heart attack. And I've seen it in many other
instances. So it is real. But God makes the decision.
Yes.
I've never seen anybody, any faith healer, no one, stand up in front of a large number of people and say, you can all be healed today. He doesn't work that way. He works in individual cases. And my relationship with him is highly personal and individual. And so I'm sure,
you're
Dr.
right,
Meeker, you didn't want to leave that impression either.
Absolutely, absolutely. But here's the point. It's up to God and God's mind, if you will. And we are not to know that mind. We are just to have faith, and to have faith in his character and to believe. Absolutely, I've seen miraculous things and interventions that God has done, but I've seen many more times where he has chosen to withhold. And I don't know why, but we have to believe that he had good reason and that his intentions are good, because that's who he is.
Yeah. Somebody said, just as soon as I get to heaven, I'm going to ask all those questions. And somebody else replied, you won't care.
It won't matter.
That's gone. Old things are passed away, and we're going to spend eternity with him.
Yeah.
And isn't that a great bit of news for somebody like you, Karen?
It's
the crown of righteousness. It is eternal life. It's what awaits us on the other side. And none of us want to go there early. I mean, very few. But that is what he's promised.
Mm.
But, Karen, when I say don't write with the wrong message, you would like to hear from people, wouldn't you? You would like to know people are praying. You
Absolutely.
Would like to know people are telling you that your story touched their hearts.
Absolutely.
Would you like?
That is such an encouragement. Yeah. When people write letters, emails, write on my blog that I've encouraged them to live well, to love their kids big, to meet their husband in kindness. Those things just delight my heart.
Mm-hmm. Carrie, you've now written this book. We haven't talked about it much to this point, but I want people to know about it. It's called The Hardest Peace. There's a contradiction in terms. Where do you get peace in the midst of that which is terribly hard? And yet that's what you have written about. What did you mean?
Well, when I started the journey, I started blogging at a place called Mundane Faithfulness, where I would wake up in the midst of hard and begin naming how God's grace had shown up for me.
You turn a condition into a noun.
Exactly. I do that a lot.
You do. I've noticed.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. As I was meeting the hard in my story, I started to name the places where God was showing up, whether it be a friend coming and rubbing my feet, or somebody bringing a meal, or my kids just not being afraid of a bald mom. Mm-hmm. I just saw his grace, and I just began naming it. And, you know, as Ann Voskamp says, we're not thankful until we name our things we're thankful for.
Yes.
I kind of saw grace that way. Grace is the gift we don't deserve. I didn't do anything to earn God's goodness. I didn't do anything to earn my salvation. So that's all grace. And so these places of love that meet me are the hands and feet of Jesus. And so that's where I started writing. And that's this book. It's the book of saying, it's not just for people with cancer. All of us face hard. All of us face unmet expectations of what life is. How do we find Jesus when life disappoints us?
And it's a choice, isn't it? It's a deliberate, conscious choice. Mm. I feel awful, or I feel hard, or I am in hard, however you say it.
Yes.
So lovely. I can't. But I choose to name these things.
Yes. And to be honest about the hard, to say, I'm in a desperate place. God, show up for me in a unique way. You know, last week I got awful news, and about my condition growing in my, it had gone away in some places, but had moved in my skeleton, in my bones more.
Yeah.
And that day, my friend Ingrid wrote me and said, your book is here. Would you like to hold it in your hands? And I couldn't get in the car fast enough. And it was this moment where God let me see how he's using my story And it was just humbling, and it was the part of the redemption of this story that I had the opportunity to write this book mm-hmm. and tell people it's hard, but Jesus is there mm-hmm. and he is good.
And to be able to give that gift to your children.
Yes.
You know, so many mothers want to, but for many reasons are timid or don't take the time or the opportunity or get duped into believing that other things are more important.
Yes.
Than teaching these things and really leaving what Doctor is about to do is talk about leaving a legacy, and that's the greatest gift. And in many ways, this is the legacy you give them is your love for Christ in the midst of this. And to be able to write it in a beautiful book mm-hmm. for your grandchildren to read, Kira.
I can't imagine. I know.
It will be a great blessing to your grandchildren.
While we have been talking, your sister has been sitting here very, very quietly. Her name is Jonna McMahon.
Yes.
And I just motioned to her to come over and sit at a microphone because I have a feeling that you have something to say about what we have just talked about and what we've heard. You're the big sister.
I am.
For Kira.
I am.
She was the youngest in the family.
Yes.
And you were, where'd you fall in
the... I'm in the middle. Hmm. So we have an older brother.
So you've watched this entire episode. You've seen everything that Kira has been through.
Yes.
And she has leaned on you, I think you said. And yes. That you talk together nearly every day.
Yes.
Jonna, tell us what we have not yet heard. Tell us what you have observed. Some people are listening right now and saying, Kira couldn't be for real. You know, the way she's handling this is so unusual and so strong.
It is.
Tell me what else we need to know about her and this illness.
Well, she says things about cancer that it's hard, but so much beauty has come from cancer. Kira and I live across the country, and I have flown in probably about a dozen times, and it's always last minute. I drop whatever I'm doing when she calls me. I'm here right now so that her husband can get away for a little bit, and It is very hard, but there has been beautiful moments sprinkled through it, and to know Kira is to love Kira. She's very inquisitive. She asks very hard questions. But to walk beside her through this has been incredibly hard, but incredibly beautiful. Kira tells me a lot of things that, you know, her fears and her wishes and things like that. And sometimes it's hard for me to hear, but I wouldn't change my position for anything. Mm-hmm. And to witness her and Jason and their love for each other is absolutely mind-blowing. I remember coming to church, and Jason was doing a sermon on Lamentations, and he was talking.
Jason is her husband.
Jason is my brother-in-law, her husband. Yeah. And he was talking about, he knows he loves Kira. He knows it. But now that cancer is here, he really loves his wife.
Well, I hate to cut into this top broadcast of the year, but once again, we're out of time for today. We've been listening to the second part of The Hardest Piece here on Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. I'm Dr. Meg Meeker, and if you would like more information about Kira Tippett's or her book, The Hardest Piece, please visit our website, drjamesdobson.org, or call us at 877-732-6825. This is Dr. Meg Meeker saying Merry Christmas to our listening audience. Thank you so much for joining us today, and we'll see you again next time for the conclusion of The Hardest Piece, right here on Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
Family Talk is not affiliated with Focus on the Family.
Hello, everyone. This is James Dobson, and I have some great news to share with you today. Friends of Family Talk have stepped forward with a generous matching grant that doubles any gift that we receive from you this month.
That means that your donation will reach twice as many families and have twice the impact for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now is a vital time for the ministry of Family Talk, as the money that we receive before the end of the year sets the stage for the ministry impact that we can have in the upcoming new year. We plan the entire year based on the donations that come in from now through December 31st. And we'd love to be able to expand and reach more families than ever in 2015. So I hope you will make a contribution today. You can donate by visiting drjamesdobson.org or by calling us at 877-732-6825. That's 877-732-6825. Merry Christmas, everyone, and as always, thank you for listening to Family Talk.